I'm excited about this message because when I spoke this message a few months ago, it was stirring in my heart. And so I've been praying over this thing for the last week or so. And I just, man, it's just been bringing things back to me. And so I want to challenge you tonight. We're going to talk, you know, and the pastor's been on a series, The Fruits of the Spirit. And so we've been diving into what God has to say about the fruits of the Spirit. Did you know that not only is salvation a gift, but the Holy Spirit is a gift as well. And because of that gift, we have so many privileges and things that come to us. The Bible says in Galatians, we're going to read it a little while later about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And so we know that God wants to plant something in our life. How many want the joy of the Lord in your life? How many want to not live in a place that's lacking in joy? Well, I want to declare to you today a couple statements. I declare to you that today you will find new strength in God's deep joy. And I just want you to receive this, man, because I was writing this down. The Lord was putting this on my heart. I declare that you will find new strength in God's deep joy. And also that the fruit of joy will increase in your heart and into your life. And that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of joy, will flood your soul. How many will receive that word tonight? I tell you, I believe God's calling us to a place of joy. Now, how many of you, I want to try to do a little bit of comparison here. I believe there's a little bit of a difference between happiness and joy. Now, how many of you say, well, I just want to be happy, right? How many of you have ever said, I just like to be happy? Whatever makes me happy. Are you guys awake out there? All right. So it's okay to talk to me because I get lonely up here. So you can tell me what you're thinking. It's okay. I won't be distracted. Don't worry. So the difference between happiness and joy. Have you ever said, if I would be happier if... fill in the blank. I would be happier if I had a bigger house, or if I had a better job, or if I had the right job, or not this job. I would be happier if I was married to the right person, or if I wasn't married to the person I'm married with. I don't know. I would be happy if my husband would pick up his underwear when he throws them on the floor. I don't know. You've probably said this sentence before. I would be happy if. Anybody with me? You guys with me? All right. So if you've ever thought that, I would be happy if, you know, and just putting it out there, if I just be happy, this indicator of our lives that there's something missing. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the difference between happiness and joy. See, as I was praying, I woke up early this morning and God was just showing me this, and it was just hitting me hard. So I want to share it with you as well. The difference, happiness is like a wave. All right. Happiness is like a wave. It moves with the tides. And, you know, in your life and in my life, happiness moves with the tides. Good things come and we're happy. Bad things come and we're sad. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Happiness comes it moves with the waves. But the Lord said, joy is like the depths of the ocean. See, but your joy also affects happiness because the depths of the ocean is where the waves are born, right? Because out of the depths of the ocean, out of the deep places of the ocean, that's where waves begin to move. And so I want to challenge you today. So there's a lot of people say, well, happiness and joy, they're the same thing. Well, I want to challenge you with that. Listen, joy is a gift from God. Joy is a planted seed from God's Spirit into your life and in my life. God plants His joy into us. It is a gift from the Spirit. Of God is a gift of life. It is the presence of God in us. His joy is something deeper than just the surface. Because I tell you, I don't know about you, but I remember a story about Paul and Silas, and they were in a place that wasn't too happy, in chains and stocks and bond in the dark dungeon place, and they had no hope of seeing a future, right? But in that place, they found themselves worshiping Jesus and giving Him the praise because they had something deeper than happiness. They had the joy of the Lord. And that joy of the Lord brought them out of that situation. Do you see what I'm saying? So joy is like the depths of the ocean. Happiness is like the waves. Waves change with circumstances. What about this? Think about this. Any of you ever heard the expression, you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but you can teach him to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime, right? I was talking to Ethan the other day. Ethan's a big fisherman. He loves to fish, and he caught some crazy cool bass out to the lake, and he was showing some pictures, and I was just impressed. I was like, man, you got to teach me something. I want to learn because he's catching some big bass, you know, and Ethan has been trained. He learned how to fish. Now he knows the art of fishing and he can catch fish. So it's the same kind of thing. Happiness is a fish, but joy is knowing how to fish. Happiness is just a meal for a moment, but joy is satisfaction for a lifetime. See, God just wants to take you to a deeper place in your walk with Him, a place that comes from something deep in the inside. We've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit and how God wants to plant those things deep inside of us. And I oftentimes think we miss what God is doing because we're looking on the surface. You know, so we pray, God, I just need, you know, happiness is a bill that's needs to be paid right now. That bill got paid. That's happiness. But joy is so much provision in your life that there's no problems, right? Do you get what I'm saying? Happiness is just the scratching the surface of joy. Happiness is just the fruit of joy. Happiness just comes out of what joy is. See, God has wanted to take us out of a place of just getting forgiveness for sins, but He wants to take us to a place where we are breaking bondage. See, happiness is just being forgiven of your sin. Okay, well, God forgives us of sin. That's great. That makes me happy. But joy is being set free from the bondages of sin. Do you see what I'm saying? God has wanted to take us to a deeper place in this level of joy. Can you agree with me tonight? All right. There is supernatural strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. We can get lost in the pursuit of happiness. We can look for this world. The world wants to say, you got to do this to be happy. You want to do this. There's this pursuit of happiness. You know, we got to get, you know, 3.2 children or 2.5 children or whatever it is, 2.67 children and a house with a picket fence and the car and this. And that's happiness. I'm here to tell you that there are people who have it all, but they are missing something on the inside. It's because they're missing what God has for them. They're missing the joy of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but this happens to all of us. So this message is not just for you. It's for me too, because there's times in my life where I miss it, where I am looking for those things that satisfy me. But God is saying something on the inside of you has to be satisfying you. We got to get lost, not in the pursuit of happiness, but get lost in the pursuit of the Lord. This world is looking for happiness. This world is looking for happiness. But when they look at us as Christians, they don't see us as being, they say, well, what do I want to be a Christian for? I'm moping all around. Oh, man, I ain't got no job. My kids are so bad. My wife, you know, we just mealy mouth and mope around and complain. And so God has put His joy inside of us. His life is inside of us. And something needs to spring up inside of us, spring up a well of joy in our lives so that the world can see what the truth of God's word is, so they can see the love of God and the passion of God and the healing of God, and they will be drawn to Him because of us. That's our job in this world. Man. What are you showing the world? What are we showing the world? You know, we have to know that there are good days and bad days ahead. We know that. But we don't find our strength in the good days. This is real key here, so I want you to hear this. There's good days and there's bad days ahead for you. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you got troubles coming. It's going to happen. You're going to have marriage problems. You're going to have difficulties in your finances. There's going to be troubles that are coming. I'm going to go ahead and warn you ahead of time. If you haven't figured it out, there's bad days coming. But don't look at the good days as the days to sustain you. The good days aren't here to sustain you, to bring you strength. But we find our strength in the joy of the Lord. We find our strength in the joy of the Lord. Do you want that kind of strength in your life? Do you want that kind of joy in your life where you find the strength of God, the strength of God to even make it through, so like Paul and Silas, to make it through those circumstances? I'm reminded, the Lord's just reminded me, we did a series on Nehemiah, and he built about building the wall, and we talked about that for a while. But I'm reminded, after you guys may not know the story, but the brief story is that the Israelites, they were losing their homeland, and they were being attacked by the enemy. Their wall was being destroyed, and Nehemiah went back to build the wall. And in just a short amount of time, they banded together and they built the wall, and they got it complete, and they got everything done. And they were glorifying God, and they were exhausted. Can you imagine trying to do something so quick and so hard? And it was very, very difficult, and it was strenuous. And along the way, you know, they finished, and the enemy was trying to destroy them, but they made a way. They finished, right? And so they went through difficult times. Anybody ever gone through a difficult time? Anybody going through difficult times now? So listen, when they finished, Ezra began to read the word. And the people were hungry for the word, and they began to hear the word. But there was like this wait. And Nehemiah said these words, and it's the only place it's found in Scripture, I do believe. He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And I believe when he spoke that, it broke something off the children. They were able to move past that place of fear and regret and pain and of lack and where they had come from. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I want to declare to you today, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to declare that over yourself and over your family. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why don't you touch somebody and tell them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, just go ahead and shake them. Tell them, it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we're going to talk about three areas of the joy of the Lord here. And the joy of the Lord must be, and if you like taking notes, I don't know. I like taking notes, and I like to, I guess I learned this from Stephen Willis, because he always, his points always kind of rhyme or something. I'm not that good. Okay. I just go ahead and just know it's not going to be that good. So, cause he's awesome at that. So, but the joy of the Lord must be planted. It must be protected, and it must be pursued. The joy of the Lord must be planted, it must be protected, and it must be pursued. So I want to talk first off about the planting of the joy of the Lord in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. This is our key scripture, fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Say, this kind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Somebody say, every. Now, how many of you are like me when you're reading scripture like that? You're just convicted all over the place. It's just like, Lord, I ain't doing self-control. Oh, come on. Why'd you got to put that one in there? I mean, you know, you could have left that one out, you know, self-control. I mean, cause how it's hard. Gentleness, anyway, patience. Ooh, man, somebody just got antsy in your seat. Patience. How many of you lack patience? I'm not looking. Don't raise your hand. It's okay. See, God wants to, these need to be planted in our lives. So, as I was reading this and as I was studying months ago, God was just showing me like this, our life being like a vineyard, like a soil. All right. I know I'm from the South. Soul. And I believe that God is wanting to plant some things in our life. So the joy of the Lord must be planted in your life. So let me ask you this question. If you lack joy in your life, if you constantly say, well, I'm just not happy. And you feel yourself down and depressed and pulled away from that joy. Then I want to ask you a question here. God wants to plant this into your life. So let's see what are the symptoms. If you are missing joy in your life, if you have things that are wrong, if you have things that are missing, then I believe that it could be possibly that you have a crust over your soul. Now, how many farmers in here? Anybody ever farmed? Anybody ever, all right, anybody planted a seed and grew something? Okay. Nobody? Nobody's ever done? Okay. Thank you for raising your hand, being honest. I am from a family of farmers. My grandfather and my great grandfather, was Italian, and he came over on the ship in Ellis Island, and he settled in the Delta area, and he farmed for his whole life, and my grandfather too, and a lot of my family. And so, so I understand a lot about farming just because I watched my family do this. And you know, when you want to plant a seed in the ground, right? If the soil is too hard, then how many of you have experienced soil that's like concrete? The rain will just hit it. It'll just get compacted. And I'm telling you, you take a sledgehammer to it. It just breaks the sledgehammer. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you really can't break through the soil. Well, so what has to happen is that soul has to be cultivated. And so I want to ask you this question. Maybe because if you lack joy in your life, if you're missing that fruit of the Spirit, that area of joy in your life, I wonder if there's some crust over your life. Maybe you have a hard heart towards the Lord in some areas. So I want to talk about this just for a second and see what he has to say. What brings this crust over our lives? Well, I wrote down a couple of things here. If you are unrepentant. Well, somebody says, "Well, I always ask God to forgive me my sins," but that, it's a little bit different than that. What I'm talking about is you're never wrong. Ooh, somebody moaned in the spirit. I Lord help me, Jesus, because I struggle sometimes because I don't like being wrong. Anybody like being wrong? Nobody likes to be wrong, right? But here's if you never like to be wrong, I mean, that could be a symptom of your hard heart in your life that doesn't allow the penetration of God's joy into your soul. Stubborn? My way or the highway? You said that? I just wonder if sometimes our stubborn attitude, I'm going to do it this way because this is the way I've always done it. When God is speaking to you and drawing you and say, son, daughter, how about this? What about this? Have you thought about this? But because of our stubborn attitudes and our ways of thinking and the way that we've always done it, we just assume that that's going to be okay. But God's trying to plant something in our lives. And because of that, we've got the crust of our heart hardened. Stubborn. Lord help us. Angry, rude, bitter. You just name it. There's so many things that we just don't have time to go into all of it. But I want to tell you something. God wants to break that crust over our hearts, and He wants to begin to cultivate, and He wants to begin to plant some things in our life and begin to water some areas that are dry, and He wants to begin to stir some things up. So will you be willing, like myself tonight, to just say, God, whatever you want to do, begin to cultivate the truth. Begin to bring your joy into my life. Begin to change me from the inside out. Listen to this. If you got a hard heart, listen to this. Proverbs 28, verse 14 says, blessed are those who fear to do wrong, but the stubborn are headed for serious trouble. Romans 2, 5 says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself. God is trying to break loose the outer crust of our lives, and He wants to speak the truth into us. The truth into us, not the facts, but God wants to speak the truth into your life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. It doesn't matter what I'm looking at, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's time for us to begin to declare over our souls and to declare over our lives, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because I think we can get easily swayed and easily pulled back into that place of laziness and allow the crust of our life to cover over again. There's times in my life where, and I'm just going ahead and tell you, I'm probably the least perfect person. I'm not perfect. Believe me, I fail often. But there's been times in my life where I knew I was dry and I was far from the Lord and I was missing Him. And I'm telling you, God wants to break through those places. He wants to break loose that outer crust. He wants to cultivate the soul of our lives. For some of you, that means there needs to be some weeds that need to be removed. You know, you can't really cultivate or begin to move some things or plant some new things in there when you got old things stuck in there, right? So you got some stuff in there, some baggage, some stuff held back, and God wants to begin to extract some of those things. He's an expert gardener, right? And he desires to plant that seed of joy into your life and into your spirit, but there's so many things in the way. He wants to remove the weeds, the bad influences, the wrong thoughts. The Bible says that we cast down even the imaginations, even the thoughts that the enemy, we got to cast those things down. Listen, this is not a name it, claim it kind of script, kind of message. You know, there's been a whole religion built around it. Just speak it, claim it, name it, claim it. There's one thing to declare God's word, but something just out of your mouth doesn't change. It has to come from the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So maybe God wants to plant some joy in your life, and then out of that joy, you're going to begin to declare the truth of God. And out of that well of God's life inside of you, then you can break free and speak those things and declare those things, and there's power associated with it. If you're speaking and declaring things and there's no power with it, check your joy. Maybe you're just a little hard-hearted. I hope this message ain't too hard on you. God's wanting to fertilize, right? There's some things that need to be put in. God is trying to not only cultivate and break loose the hard heart of our soul, but he's wanting to begin to plant some things in our life and begin to change some things. And because, you know, if you're stubborn and like me and you're strong-willed and you just desire your own way, if you're like that, oftentimes you're just fighting against God. And the journey, like Pastor Willis spoke a few weeks ago about going in the wilderness season, if you're just going to continue around and around and around just fighting with God. But how about we just say, God, whatever you want to do, God, just do it. Whatever you want to do right now, Lord, I'm willing, God. I'm willing, God, whatever you want to do. We have to fertilize the life. God wants us to apply his word. Man, I tell you, you have to begin to apply God's word into your life. So oftentimes we in the ministry, you know, we have people come and they say, you know, I'm really struggling right now with this or this. And, you know, and so the question a lot of times we ask is, so what scripture are you standing on? Or are you praying and believing God for in this situation? Well, you know, God loves the world and he gave his only son. Yeah, well, everybody knows John 3:16. Okay, what scripture are you standing on to combat the enemy in this area? Some of us need to know that the fertilization of God's word into our heart and applied with that joy begins to bring forth much fruit. It begins to bring forth a lot of fruit. Right? How many want a lot of fruit in your life? Growth and expansion and growth. And God's ever wanting to grow in our lives. Now, my wife and I, just about every year, I buy her ferns. All right. And she's going to laugh. No, she's not going to laugh. She's probably like, why are you going to tell that? Now, and we always kill them. We kill ferns. I mean, the ferns leave the store. They come to our house to die. And I don't know. I'm just like, what do we do to make these things live? You know, we try to water them. We water them pretty regularly, you know, not too much sun, not enough sun. I don't know. I'm looking on the internet like, God, help me, Lord, to make a fern live. Live and not die, fern. Anyway, and so, but for all these years, we've never been able to keep ferns alive. And I worked for a lady the other day, and she has beautiful ferns. And I'm talking about these ferns were huge. And I thought she probably bought those from somebody already that pretty, you know. And I was like, where'd you get those ferns? And she's like, Brookshire's. I'm like, no, you didn't. That's where I got mine. Look, you got to see mine. And she's like, yeah, that's where I got my ferns. And so, but she said, here's what you got to do. And she just went beep, 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 beep. And I was like, wait, let me write that down. You do what now? Okay. All right. Okay. And as she was explaining it to me, I was like, oh, and then she said, now here's the key. Now, when somebody's trying to give you information, then when they say, here's the key, that's when you got to really perk up your ears and say, all right, here's the key. She said, you just take a little bit of Miracle-Gro about once a week and you put it in there with it and that'll make them grow. I'm like, now, why did not think? And so I went home and was telling my wife this. She was like, well, we got some of that stuff out there. And I'm like, really? And so I dug around. I found it. And I put some in there. I put it in that plant. And all of a sudden, the plants just perked up. And they were growing. And now the green happening. I'm like, yes, Lord, we can grow ferns. It's so amazing. So wonderful. But see, listen. God is wanting to apply some Miracle-Gro into our lives. He's wanting to take his word and he's wanting to sprinkle some of his truth into our joy and cause some new life to spring forth. If you feel like that you're dry and you're dead and there's crust over your life, allow the Lord's word to begin to penetrate your soul and begin to penetrate your life and bring forth much fruit. Fill your minds with the joys of the relationship with God. Man, I love doing this. Every morning, I drive a lot to the different places and work. And man, I just crank on some music and I just get in the presence of the Lord. And I just love to talk to him and tell him how good he is. Man, I tell you, just begin to celebrate God. Begin to declare how good he is. Even if you're going through a tough time, this is what Paul and Silas said. You got to do that too. You got to begin to declare the goodness of God in your life and begin to declare how wonderful he is. Begin to speak those things out. And lastly, one of the other things the Lord says, surround yourself with encouraging people. Oh, yeah. Man, some of you got to work with some discouraging people. And I know it happens. It does happen. But listen, if at all possible, when you can, surround yourself with people who are pressing towards God and moving towards God and encouraging you and uplifting you and speaking truth to you. These are the things that God wants to do to fertilize your life so that you can be a fern that grows too. Yeah. Hallelujah. The other thing is, man, I am not going to make it. Jesus. We're going to plant it deep. God wants to take deep things. So listen, your roots have to go deep. Your roots have to go deep. And there's the scripture. You guys all know it. Jeremiah 17, verse 8. I love this scripture. It says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. You want the fruit of joy to never stop producing in your life? It's time to go deep in the Lord. It's time to move a little deeper. Jesus told his disciples, you know, Jesus was really, the Garden of Gethsemane and other times where he was going away to pray, and he was pulling away, and he said, come with me and pray with me, stay with me, pray with me, pray with me, pray with me, pray with me. And they were like, okay, Jesus. Oh, we love you. Wait, we got sleepy. God is calling us to a deeper place in your walk with the Lord. Maybe your life is missing a little bit of joy. Maybe it's time for you to begin to let your roots go deep, to spend a little time with them. And this moves my heart because Jesus, God created Adam and Eve for one thing. He wanted to spend time with them walking in the cool of the day. That was his favorite thing to do. He wanted to spend time with them. He wants to spend time with you. And he gave Jesus as an advocate so that we can have that time again. And it's time for us to take ourselves deep into the Lord. It's time to take time in his presence, into worship, into prayer, and into his word, and take time for him. If I don't take time for my wife, our relationship suffers. If you don't take time with your children, your relationship suffers. If you're not at church, then you're going to miss something. If you're not seeking God, then you're missing something. You're losing out on what God wants us to go deep. He's drawing you deeper. How many want to go deeper with the Lord and make this commitment and say, God, I just commit to you, God, that I will spend time with you. He said to the disciples, can't you even spend 1 hour? Man, how much more is God calling us to? God has planted the depth of his joy in your life. God has planted the depth of his joy, and he's cultivating that, and he's fertilizing that, and he's causing the roots to go deep in your life. And because of that, we have to be sure that we protect that. The joy of the Lord must be protected. So this is point two if you're taking notes. Point two. The joy of the Lord must be protected. See, when a great vineyard is produced and when a great garden is begins to flourish and begins to grow, that's when the thieves come to steal. That's when the foxes come to rob, right? That's when my grandparents, they would always have to do some chemicals and do some things to protect from the bugs, and different things would want to come and eat what's there and steal that away. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and destroy, but I have come to give life. There is a thief that wants to steal your joy. So let me ask you about the foxes in your life. Are there foxes in your life that's stealing the joy? That's pulling away from that joy in your life? You have foxes in the vineyard of your soul, in the garden of your soul. Foxes are, they're tricky. They're quick. They're sneaky. And it sounds a whole lot like the devil. Right? Because he's that way too. He's tricky. He's sneaky. He's looking for opportunities to advance on your garden and advance and steal something from you. Here's a fox in the vineyard. The overwhelming Fox. Anybody ever been overwhelmed? Everything comes at once. The circumstances hit, the car breaks down, the kids, you know, diapers are gone, we're out of money in the bank, and this happens, and that happens, and this happens, and happens. It all happens at once. You get overwhelmed. Anybody ever been overwhelmed? If you, all right, I know, because some of you may be overwhelmed right now. The foxes want to come and overwhelm what God is doing, but I want to declare to you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Isaiah 59:19. Listen, God wants to help us break free from those patterns of losing what God has planted in our lives. God plants and fertilizes and sees some things grow, but if we don't protect that, if we don't guard against that, if we don't watch out for the enemy, so many times in the scripture it says guard, watch, protect, look, there's an enemy roaming to destroy, to devour. Are you watching? Are you protecting? Are you getting lazy? The overwhelming foxes, they come. What about the foxes that wear you down? I won't call them the tired foxes. Oh, Lord. Those tired foxes, man, they come all over my house. We get tired. I get cranky, man. I don't know about you, but I get cranky. When I get tired, I'm just like, don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I know I'm the only one in the room, I'm sure, right? So when you get tired, you know, the enemy is looking for those weak moments in your life. We have to remain strong in him. We have to keep yourself encouraged in the Lord. We have to keep ourselves prepared for the attack of the enemy and keep your joy close to your soul and close to your heart and remind yourself of the good things that God has and declare the good things over your life and over your family. Because when you get tired, that's when the attack comes. When you get a little bit weary, when you're not expecting it, when you give yourself a little break and relax, that's when the attacks come. And I'm here to tell you that those can be detrimental for your life. But I also want to declare to you this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Do not fail. Do not stop. Do not stop moving. Do not stop pressing. Don't let fear hold you back. But keep moving forward, because God wants that joy to not only be planted and not only be protected, but he wants that joy to be pursued. And we have to share this joy and to show this joy and to give this joy and let this joy explode out of us, because there's a world out there that needs to experience the truth in the life of God. They need to see that true joy and that true life coming out of us, because, man, somebody lost their job. Somebody, you know, they've had this issue. They've got problems. And people, you hear it all the time. There's so many things, and they look at you and they're like, well, I don't want to be like you, because you don't look any different. It's time for us to develop and to walk in a level of joy and a level of God's grace and power in our lives, so that when we shine that light to others, they are drawn to him. They are drawn to him because when we lift up the Lord, when we lift up his name, they are drawn to him. Amen. It's time for us to break free from those lies. We got to eradicate those foxes, right? Pull them out of there. I'm not going to be pulled down by weariness and overwhelmed by circumstances and not distracted by the lies of the enemy, but I'm going to pull those foxes out of my life, and I'm going to declare the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So we have to pursue. The joy of the Lord must be pursued. Somebody say, the joy of the Lord must be pursued. See, now if I started watering that fern and I started putting the fertilizer in there and putting the Miracle-Gro in there, and I was like, wow, what a great response I got out of that. It was awesome. And it was all of a sudden, it was like this fern was alive. It was like, thank you for finally feeding me. You know, and every day, you talk to your plants. You guys talk to your plants. I'm like, hey, fern, how you doing? Good to see you. Doing all right? Water, you know. You got to talk to your plants, man. You got to. So, but you know what happens if you fail to continue fertilizing and you fail to continue watering and you pull away from that and say, oh, wait, it'll be all right. I forget. But see, God wants our joy, that joy that he planted into us, that joy that we've protected and fought for. It needs to continue to be pursued, because if we continue to pursue that joy, it has to continual growth and continual motion and moving forward and causing us to grow even more. God desires us to move forward. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. We're so worried and concerned about everything else, but we're missing the one thing. There was a guy that came to the church years ago, Mitch McVicker. I never remember anything else he said, but he said this thing. He said, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And he wrote a song about it. And the main thing is to keep the main thing. Something like that. That's all I remember from that whole thing. That was all I got. And he just kept singing it over and over and over. I guess why I still remember it. But it's so true. God has called us to keep the main thing, the main thing. We got to keep the prize. We got, like Paul said, I keep the prize before me. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. I'm moving. I'm directing. I mean, right now the Olympics are going on and, gold medal winners and, you know, like the, Michael Phelps with the butterfly thing. I watched that the other day. You guys watch the Olympics? And he's attacking and he hasn't won a gold in a few years, but he was pressing and he was pressing and he made it to the end and he won the gold. So if we get tired and we get lazy and we get, you know, oh, well, it's just another day. Then pretty soon we look ahead and the pack is gone. Where'd they go? God has called us to press and to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Everything else comes after that. Listen, I want to, we're almost out of time tonight, but I want to pray with you guys because I know that there is, I don't know if you can start some music or Corey come play or something. I need some background ambiance. God, listen, there's some of you in this room tonight that there's a crust over your heart. There's a lack of joy. There's things missing. There's something God is wanting to break through some of those hard places. Some of those stubborn places, some of those prideful areas. God is wanting to break through some of those areas so that joy can flourish, so that that seed of his life can come into you and begin to bring great joy. There's others of you that with the foxes, they're attacking and they're pulling away and there's struggles, the weariness, the lies, one of the lies that I didn't get to, but one of the things that the foxes didn't get to was the lies, man. The enemy wants to tell you this and say this to you and say this to you, and eventually you believe it. If you say a lie enough, then eventually people will believe it. Hence our government. But listen, I tell you, God wants to break us free from the lies of the enemy by speaking the truth over your life, and the truth of God sets us free. And so tonight, I believe that some of those foxes are going to be removed, and some of those lies are going to be pulled out, and some of the weariness needs to be broken. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why don't you stand with us tonight? And as I was praying earlier in the morning about this message, I just know that the Lord just showed me there's some in this room tonight that you've missed it out on the joy. You get focused on the happy waves, but you're missing the depth of the ocean of his joy. And God wants to fill the depth of your soul with the joy of his strength, the power of his spirit, the depth of his ocean of joy. He wants to plant that into you tonight. So here's what I'd like to do. If tonight, just close your eyes for a moment. If you say, that's me, Stephen, just pray for me. Because I know that there's some things missing. There's some areas that have crusted over in my life. There's some foxes that have been pulling away. Or maybe it's a lack of pursuit. You haven't really pressed like you should. You haven't been pushing, and some of those things are just beginning to fall away and fall off. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to restore to you the joy of your salvation. He wants to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. He wants to bring you back. And see, you know, for some of us, it takes me a long time to bring a fern back to life. But for God, it's instantaneous. He can pour his life and his spirit into you and quicken your heart, your mortal body, and cause things to change right here and right now. Are you missing something in your family? Are you missing something in your marriage? Are you missing something in your job? Are you lacking something that God desires to plant some joy in your soul? Are you missing? God wants to do this right now. So why don't you just lift up your hands all over this room? We're going to pray because I just know that God's going to begin to break some of those lies, and God's going to begin to break some of those old ways of thinking. and those ways that we used to do, and that stubborn way that we would go, and that prideful way we would go. God, I thank you for each and every person in this room. And Lord, I pray that tonight that your joy may be full in their life. That your joy may be full, God. Lord, bring us back, restore us unto us again, the joy of our salvation. And God, I pray right now a breaking of the lies of the enemy. Those foxes that want to kill, come steal and destroy, I pray for those foxes to be removed. I break off those lies, and I break off those overwhelming thoughts, and I break off those patterns, God, that pull us away. And I thank you that you are planting your joy into our lives. Plant your joy into our hearts, God. We receive this today. So just receive that for a moment, because God's just moving all over this room right now. He's just moving in your life. And there's been some, God, he's cultivating and he's tilling up some things, and he's rearranging some stuff. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you for a minute. I know it's time to go, but just give it a few more minutes here, just for a minute, because God's doing something miraculous right now in some people's lives. See, because it takes me a while to make a fern live, but God does something instantaneous when he reaches out with his life and his the gift of his Spirit moves into you. God is restoring some things right now. He's rebuilding some walls. He's taking some marriages and mending things. He's taking some hearts and fixing things. He's taking some family issues, and he's causing those to become. He's mending those mindsets and those thoughts and those patterns. Just receive that for a moment. God, we thank you for your joy. God, let it be a wellspring of life that springs up. Oh, spring up, oh well, in my soul. Spring up, oh well, in my soul. Let your joy overflow through these lives and through these hearts. Thank you, Jesus.